Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now,
the Stars offered me box seats, luxury box suites for game 7. I think it was game 6. And I said, hey, Stanley Cup could get handed out tonight. I've always wanted to be in the building when the Stanley Cup gets handed out. And she said, we came down here for George Strait. We're going to George Strait.
How about that?
So I walked out of Cowboys Stadium and I'm like, hey, who won the Stars game? Who won the Stars game? It's Dallas in 2000. No, the who, the what? And I'm like, this wouldn't have happened in Winnipeg. They know.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Okay, away we go. Ah, I threw my pen and forgot to pick it up. Welcome to
every day.
Hour 2 of episode number 318 of Canada's daytime sports talk show. Dupes is here with me. And an interesting comment came up near the end of hour 1, and I guess it was from Rempel, that he is disappointed in the NFL's quality of their broadcasts. What a great thing to get into with Zig Fricasse. And by the way, he's not in till segment 2 of hour 2. Let's go see what Zig's taking. Because for me, and we'll come back around on the Quick Six show topics in a minute. Does it mean that I'm old school or that I'm just simple? I don't need bells and whistles. I'm okay with one camera at midfield. I'm okay with it. Give me a replay and I'm really a bonus here. Maybe it's because I just come from an era where we didn't have that. Remember, folks, we didn't have all these bells and whistles. It was black and white Saturday night, Leafs Canadians, and we were happy. Dad making popcorn. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't see a problem with any of the broadcasts. I could rate them. I think NHL is by far and away number one, and nobody's disagreeing with that, by the way.
Right.
Maybe that's because we're in Canada. I don't know. I think if Rempel had to rate them, it would be NHL 1, what did he say, NBA 2, Major League Baseball 3, NFL 4. He was not impressed with the quality of broadcasts of the NFL. In week 1, and you weren't listening, obviously. You were doing something in your office. I said they didn't have preseason. It was week 1. It was their first game.
I know.
We saw coaches making mistakes. We saw refs blowing calls. Can we not give a TV producer a pass?
It very much felt like preseason, right? And it looked like it, and it felt like it, and it sounded like it. And the play kind of resembled preseason somewhat as well. I don't like criticizing or critiquing broadcasters, you know, jobs, because they're colleagues, right? And we do that job, and it's not easy. Going in and calling play-by-play or doing color commentary or being
on the
sidelines.
Everybody thinks it's easy.
Everybody thinks it's easy. But at the same time, as a business guy and, you know, a producer and a play-by-play guy, I love looking at the nuances. And as a branding guy, which is what I think that I really am, I like picking out, I think I know what works and what doesn't. It's hard to write down on paper what works and what doesn't, but the bells and whistles are great sometimes. Giving lots of detail and attention on a play-by-play broadcast is great. But the great ones know when to pull the strings and when not to, and just flow with the feel of the game. And I'm missing that right now, especially with the Monday Night Football. It doesn't have the big-time feel like Al Michaels and John Madden, or, you know, when John Gruden and Mike Tirico were in the field.
Sure, but you're talking about the announcers.
On
and the
side.
Networks don't seem to care about that anymore. I mean, those guys last night,
but
who were they? Somewhat just cookie-cutter announcers. That's what it is now.
Right, and Steve Levy's a great play-by-play guy. Just doesn't maybe fit that big, that stage of Monday Night Football. He's been amazing for college football. But the good ones, the ones who recognize that talent matters, are the ones who are having success. And they're figuring that out over at the other network that gave Tony Romo a whole lot of money to go alongside Jim Nantz. They realize talent matters. So we're going to pay these guys and take care of them. The ones who want to discard talent, well,
struggling.
You can see them. Their houses are on fire.
Right. Do they know they're on fire? That's the question.
But they want to think that it's not because of that, but time will tell. Cream rises to the top. The more crowded the space gets, whatever it is, radio, television, podcasting, cream rises to the top. And talent matters.
Jeff, the Stamps fan, says CBC, Channel 9, Cable 6. Viewer in Ottawa says Rod Peterson must be the producer for most U Sports University football games I've seen online. one camera in the middle of the field, and it is a luxury to get a replay. Don't at me. Again, I don't need much. That's all. And I understand that I'm not like everybody else either. Who was the guy that... Oh, Brett Thompson says black and white and so much snow in the picture, it was tough to see on a 24-inch TV. But we still watched. That's my point. I don't need the bells and whistles. But hey, I remember the sports bar that we used to frequent. Shoot, they should have given me part ownership, the Press Box Sports Bar. I was in there so much. I really got a feel for the restaurant industry because I got to be good friends with the owners. And they said, some people will walk out if we don't have HD televisions. And this was 10 years ago, maybe more. And I thought, what? What sports snobs these people are. If they walk in and they don't have HD, they'll turn and go somewhere else or go home because they got HD at home. I don't need that.
No.
I'm not looking for the sharp numbers because I can tell who the player is by his body type or the way he runs or skates, right? And so it's a little like, I think it's like the coronavirus right now. It depends where you stand on the situation. I'm not scared of it. Don't get pissed off at me that I'm not scared. And I'm not ignorant to it either or naive. But some people are just, ooh, everything needs to be perfect. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm okay with rolling with what is going to come with me. It's the way I live my life.
That's how I watched the 2007 Grey Cup. And there was plenty of HD TVs back in 2007, I'm pretty sure. But we wheeled in the square TV to the basement of CJY, 1330 CJYM in Rosetown, because I had to op the radio broadcast for the national radio feed. And so I couldn't watch the game. And all we could get in the basement of the radio station was like fuzzy, pixelated, could barely get the plays in and out. Couldn't really watch it, but it was okay. You got a good play-by-play call with the radio call, and you can still see the game. You don't need a lot of bells and whistles. When you really love the game, you can enjoy it just about any form that it's delivered.
For sure. And that's why, folks, we should have had a camera on our morning meeting because, as Paul pointed out, the infamous Paul around here, that I regularly say, don't take my word for it. Get other opinions. Because I'm a sports nerd and was raised in sports. Doesn't mean you have to be like me either, by the way. Like, the sports leagues want to appeal to everybody. That's why they serve sushi at the concession. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't need it. Give me a hot dog. Yeah. I'll sit and watch the Zamboni go around in between periods and be as happy as a lark. Well, there's not enough of me, I guess. So those marketers are trying to reach the people with the bells and the whistles and putting Dennis Miller in the broadcast booth. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's sad. Good luck, because I don't see it working for them, by the way. Attendance isn't going up, but I don't think ratings are either. Well, obviously not attendance now, but you get my point. Anyways, enough about that. Let's go to the quick six show topics. This is what we've been talking about today. Number one, Vegas ousted in game six by Dallas last night. My wife was leaving the house this morning, and she said, are you sad? I said, not really. There's bigger things in the world than losing a hockey game. I'm sure the Golden Knights feel differently, but I've moved on. What's next? Oh, point two, the puck out of play penalty, which some Vegas people and even the head coach, Peter DeBoer, blaming the loss on that. He called it a crappy penalty in the news conference. The puck went out of play accidentally off the stick of Zach Whitecloud, and Stars scored on the power play, win the series. We found out, and I'm really getting old. I thought it was 25 years ago they brought it in. Rempel Googled it. 15 years ago was when the puck out of the play came in. I thought I was in PA when that happened.
At least time's not moving fast for you. It's moving slow. You thought 15 years felt like 25.
Anyways, that's when it came in. And they're not changing it now just because the Golden Knights felt they were screwed. Don Cherry feels they should make the officials, or at least say if it was unintentional, it shouldn't be a penalty. How do you determine intent?
I don't know. And that's the problem. And the referees don't want to be the ones saying, well, it was my call. I decided that
Bingo.
You intended.
Bingo.
How can you decide what's going through my head?
I know. It happens. Spit happens. As you see in all these babies' bibs.
Yes.
Sorry, Vegas. Don't leave it in the ref's hands. Point three, Dupes Titans won a real snore fest in the second game of the doubleheader, the last game of the week one. Monday Night Football, 16-14 in Denver. And Steven Gostkowski missing four field goals for the Titans. At least he came back and won it.
Oh, yeah. He's a hero.
Yeah.
Hero of the game. And that's why people like Mike Vrabel and why he has so much respect throughout the league is even Lewis Riddick on the broadcast said, they got to be in four down territory. You can't let them kick the ball again. And I'm sitting there going back and forth with some Titans fans on Twitter who are saying, if he should he be retained, you know? And they're just, they don't even want him on the flight home, the fans. Get out of town, you're done. And I'm like, no, Vrabel's going to let him kick the game-winning field goal because that's the kind of guy he is, right? If you're on my team today, you're on my team.
Right.
Right? We'll worry about tomorrow. And sure enough, lets him kick the game-winning field goal, and all is well. And I'm sure he'll be around next week. I don't think they're going to cut him right away because of who he is. And that's why this team is actually headed in the right direction.
Viewer in Ottawa says Dennis Miller was great just for the non sequiturs he'd throw into the broadcast, whatever the hell that is. The quips.
Oh.
And the other announcers would have no clue what he was talking about. Look, I'm a huge Dennis Miller fan. He's got no business in a broadcast booth. None. And the guy who made that decision to bring a comedian into the booth for Monday Night Football should be strung up by his eyelids and punched till he blinks. Dumb. And you notice it didn't last much longer after that.
No, it didn't. Where do you sit on Boomer?
I like Boomer.
Yeah. So when the sports guys can mix in a little, it's okay. It's different, but they're the sports guys that do it. It's not comedy
talking
first.
Talking Chris Berman or Boomer Esiason?
No. Yeah, Chris Berman.
Okay. So like, I like him.
Yeah, I liked his on the Monday Night Football or on the halftime highlights when he's doing the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Minshew when he pretended to sneeze Minshew, and some people didn't like it, but I thought it was pretty funny.
On the puck out of play, Nelson, you know our VP of Sim Events, Nelson Hakowicz.
Yep.
He writes it, and he says, shooting the puck out of play was such a slow point in hockey in the late 90s, early 2000s. They had to bring that rule in. Oh, it was eye-glazing. Believe me, that I was right in the wheelhouse of that, calling those games. And by the way, you're going to determine whether the player meant to do it or not. It'll be, oh, sorry, as the puck goes this way. Like, you can't. It's not changing.
And it's the same with offsides, right? The spirit of the rule is that we want the offside challenge so that you're not, you know, 4 feet, 5 feet offside, like Matt Duchene was and a couple others that have led to key goals. But where do you determine close enough? Right?
I know.
How do you determine? Oh, close enough, he's onside. Like, it has to be black and white, unfortunately.
Nelson goes on to say, Strombo had no business hosting Hockey Night in Canada. I agree.
I got thoughts on that, too.
And by the way, the guy that put him in that role, where's he now?
Yeah.
Scott Moore. Where is he? He signed this huge anchor of a deal with the NHL for sports debt, and he's vamoosed. He lost a Hockey Night in Canada theme to TSN, put Strombolopoulos hosting Hockey Night in Canada. Like, as far as I'm concerned, every decision that guy made was a disaster.
That's the fine line on branding and building a product. It's that fine. Strombo might not have been a bad hire. Hockey guy first, I guess he started his career in hockey, but his brand had grown into culture and music and everything else. But I thought Strombo would have been really, really good in those red chairs doing one-on-one interviews with the commissioner, with the player, getting to the deep issues as a segment of Hockey Night in Canada in the after show. He'd have been really in his wheelhouse. But trying to put guys in areas that aren't their strength, that's when you fail.
By the way, we got Zig Fracassi coming up next break. They tell me he's connected. They're just confirming the audio here. So Dan in Regina says on the Prairie Mobile text line at 306-840-8777, Gostkowski wouldn't have had to be the hero if he'd made half the ones he missed. But hey, that's why we love sports. DG in Saskatoon says, college football's my number one sport on the planet. It was awesome to see Fowler and Herbie doing the first Monday Nighter. My Saturday nights in the fall are reserved for them. I'm glad they don't switch to NFL full-time. Oh, it's like junior hockey in Canada, college football. I've said that forever. Players not paid. They're roughly the same age, 18 to 22, whereas 16 to 20 here. And the mistakes. What's the phrase that I've said that you love? It's perfectly imperfect.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Perfectly
no imperfect. Lead is safe. It's not a perfect game. You never know what's going to happen. I love college football, too. Dun, 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 dun. Particularly the way ESPN does it. So Zig is next. Zig Fricassi, Sirius XM NFL Radio Channel 88. This rings in my ears all the time. Zig, we had a comment earlier, but I want you to think about this in the break. From our panelist, Kelly Rempel, who's vacated the bunker now, but he said he didn't like the production quality of the NFL broadcast in week one. I'll just be thinking about that, and we'll get to the rest when we return. And folks, your NFL questions too, because Zig's the man. Right in. It's the RP Show, Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You need to adapt, and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Does this look familiar? Your fans deserve an incredible arena experience. It's time for an upgrade. Stunning graphics. Revenue opportunities are just the beginning with our in-venue display systems and scoring technology. Let us help you find the best solution for your facility. DDG. Always delivering the best fan experience. Find us at ddgregina.com.
People donate blood for moments like this.
But there are lots of reasons why Canada's Lifeline needs donors every day.
Like the fact that someone with leukemia can need up to 8 units of blood a week.
Or that donated blood lasts no longer than 42 days.
Or to help new moms and babies, like Henry.
There's lots of reasons to donate blood. That's why we need donors every day.
The need for blood is constant. Join Toyota and our Toyota dealers in supporting Canada's Lifeline.
Laid back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
All right. Oh, welcome back, everybody. Colin in Ottawa says, Rod, have you noticed that everyone involved in the mega NHL media deal from Sportsnet has been let go by Rogers? That's how bad the deal was for Rogers. Oh, I know. We'll get to that, too. And Zig Fricassi can get down on the NHL talk. And he joins us now from New York, our good and longtime friend, Zig Fricassi. There he is. Zig, thanks for holding through the break. How you doing, my man?
Rod, how are you, my friend?
Man, that is one strong feed you got coming there. I love the sound of it. Is Sirius hook you up with that line or what?
I don't know. It's just maybe I got good osmosis from my computer line with Verizon Fios, you know, but it's all good, my friend. Good to be with you.
As always, you look good, you sound good, and I teed you up for our first question. How did you feel about the television? Oh, Hockey Night in Canada!
Yeah,
I love it, by the way. Yeah,
kind of like that.
Well, you did grow up in upstate New York. You're an honorary Canadian, as far as I'm concerned. And we'll come around on that in a second. But what did you think of the broadcast quality of week one in the NFL?
You know, that's a great question. I know you brought that up, and I was thinking about it throughout the break. And I don't know. Maybe I'm just one of these guys, Rod, that just wants to look at the game. I don't need all the sort of periphery noise, the nonsense. You know, now the cheerleaders are nice and all that kind of thing. And, you know, the fans getting into it, it's all great in that. But to me, I think this is one of these things. We're in a new territory where this is really the first Sunday that we've had NFL football. You know, people talk about no preseason games and not wanting them and all this, but you got to remember from the TV side, these are chances for these networks to do their sort of dress rehearsals too. So now we're entering this charter territory where, except for maybe five or six venues, there's no fans. So I think it's kind of trial by error, seat of your pants type of effect here. So maybe that's where I'm a little indifferent towards it. I just want to see ball. And I thought the announcers were really good on the broadcast. And I got to tell you, the quality of the game for no preseason, no hitting, no inter-squad scrimmages or anything like that, Rod, I thought it was surprisingly good the way that it went week one in the NFL.
Well, there you go. And I think if anybody's complaining about the quality of the TV broadcast, is they're really nitpicking. They couldn't pick on the football. It was good. But now that you say that with the cheerleaders, I'm like, did they have cheerleaders? Because I was literally watching just on the field, too. My wife would say, oh, yeah, yeah, as if you didn't know. No, I don't remember.
Well, Sunday night, I think at SoFi Stadium, the Rams cheerleaders were actually outside the stadium.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So the burning question I have for you, and I don't know how much you've spent on this since Sunday on Channel 88, but Tom Brady, everybody's saying Brady a dud in debut, and even on the broadcast, the announcers, they had the Buck and Aikman kind of trashing Tom a little bit. Was it as bad as people are making it out to be? I mean, I watched the game.
You know, it's one of these things where, and actually Tampa got the first score of the game. I mean, Tom Brady actually had the first touchdown. People kind of forgot, and he even admitted after that he missed some throws. And then, you know, yesterday, Bruce Arians, some of the bites that he had that basically, you know, were Tom, he looked like Tom Brady in practice, and then, you know, it wasn't like we weren't prepared for what the Saints were going to offer. So, yeah, I think that was way overdone. I mean, if he throws five touchdown passes and they win, Rod, it can only get worse from there. So maybe from the glass half full department, things can get better for Tampa Bay. He is in a new offense. It's new terminology. Even for a quarterback with his street cred and his six championships, it is new lingo, a lot of new personnel. Rome wasn't built overnight. So I think everybody just needs to calm down just a little bit there.
Well, they are in Dallas. They're very chill in Dallas. And by the way, I'm a Cowboys fan with the way Mike McCarthy blew the end of the Sunday night game. I'm reading on The Athletic. Hey, Mike McCarthy could have been better in his Cowboys debut, but he'll get better. Zig, they blew a game. Yes, sir. They blew a game. That's how I see it. I don't know your thoughts on how that game ended. What did you think?
Well, you and I are both Cowboys fans, so obviously we're not very pleased with the outcome. I thought in spurts, you know, the offense clicked extremely well. So you had that going. But a few observations here. For some reason, I don't know if Kellen Moore starts getting the Scott Linehan thought process late in games where you should be taking more aggressive chances or playing more percentages. But for whatever reason, the play calling gets a little bit funky, like 2 or 3 yard passes in this kind of thing when you need 6 or 7. So that was a little bit disturbing. That they couldn't convert on third down was a little bit disturbing. I thought it was a little bit arrogant that they didn't go for the tie with about 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Now, McCarthy defending the decision, saying that, you know, I like the way we were moving at that particular point in time. So I felt good in the offense. Now, down the road, Dak Prescott and company say, hey, the coach has our back next time we execute. So I guess you could take, you know, half empty, half full. And then, obviously, the offensive pass interference, which on Michael Gallup, I mean, you know, the Rams are near Hollywood. Jalen Ramsey is a little bit of an actor, no matter how talented he is. Rod, that was clearly not offensive pass interference. It was just two guys going for the ball. But then people are going to say, well, maybe that was retribution for Jared Goff getting clocked on the interception where the Cowboys would ultimately kick the field goal. So maybe that was sort of the make good call. But all in all, there were a few tendencies I didn't like not converting on third down. The defense, which was really ragged the first 2 or 3 series of the game, I thought they settled in, although they still don't create enough turnovers. It's just one game. Everybody chill out, although Now you lose your leading defender in Van Der Esch with you're cackling. Why is that?
Everybody calm down and chill out. It's Dallas, man.
Of course it is.
It's Texas.
It's America's team. It's Canada's team for all we know. So,
yeah,
you know, but the Van Der Esch loss is a pretty big one. That is undeniable because he's their leader on defense. So how they replace him, and then you lose Blake Jarwin, a kid I've been really high on, supposed to take over for Jason Witten. Boy, wouldn't he be nice to have right now. So Cowboys are hurting at tight end. So they're banged up a little bit, Rod. But again, it's one game. Let's all chill out.
Yeah, for sure. And I appreciate you expounding upon that. But with the decision to not kick the field goal and go for it. Listen, this is two Cowboys fans talking. We could go all day, so everybody please just indulge us. But Dak Prescott right. said after the game he liked the call. And I'm like, of course he liked the call. He's the quarterback. They're going to want to stay on the field. You can't leave it in his hands. Oh, and by the way, can you, for once and for all, differentiate? Is it 16 games this year or 17? Because they were going to 17. Did they keep it at 16 because of COVID, or are we playing 17? What is it this year?
It's, God, unless something slipped by me, it's 16 games, but of course it's always 17 weeks.
But they expanded the playoffs, and they were going to go to 17 yes. games. Right, that's what it was. They're going to keep the expanded playoffs but stay at 16 games. Okay, right.
Right.
Now, Zeg, I love what you do on SiriusXM. I got another buddy, Matthew Barnaby, spent a lot of time on NHL radio, as do you.
Oh, I know he is. Sure.
Oh, I love Barney. Love him. And when we spend some time together, he's always said that he doesn't cheer for anybody. He doesn't have a team. It allows him to cheer for 31 teams on SiriusXM NHL radio. So I don't hear you very often say you're a Cowboys fan on NFL radio. Or do you when I missed it?
You probably have missed it. I mean, I make it known. You know, I followed them since the Roger Staubach era. So, I mean, they were on TV more than the Bills ever were. They had the hottest cheerleaders. They were the most exciting team. They were the coolest uniforms. So I got hooked on in the 70s. And then, you know, obviously through the 80s, it got a little rough there, the later years of Landry. And then when Jerry bought the team with Jimmy. And then, gosh, this past 25 years has been kind of rough. Been a few playoff years, the Dez Caudits and, you know, some of the memorable losses. But, through thick and thin, my friend, still a Cowboys fan. I think the star will shine again at some point.
I know. Well, overall, it's been a pretty good run for sure. And Armando Moreno, he's a global football reporter watching in Mexico right now. He says, actually, the Cowboys are Mexico's team, too, to my dislike. Yeah, and he puts a funny emoji on there. But that's the thing with being a Cowboys fan. You invite a lot of abuse wherever you go, but you always find friends wherever you go, too. By the way, with the absence of preseason play in the NFL, Zig, and we talked about this on the show yesterday, do you just not feel like we could just wipe everything out of what we saw in week one, that it was an anomaly somewhat? I mean, the play was good, yes, but I don't see any trends developing yet. Far too early for that.
Yeah, I would agree with you. You know, will we see a possible regression in week two? Maybe so. But again, it's that fine line. I mean, like we saw, you know, with the hockey, for example, I thought it would be extremely ragged once they came into the bubble, but it was actually some pretty darn good hockey. So I think there's just the mindset. These guys are able to rest a little bit. They know how to inherently play football. It's just in the case of a new offense, new coordinator, what have you, it's just the master of timing and getting the cadences down and things like that. And obviously on the defensive side of the ball too. So from a preservation standpoint, I think it's absolutely great, but, and the instincts ultimately take over. So I think you still may see a little more ragged football. I mean, last night, I don't know, Rod, if you stayed up to watch Tennessee and Denver, there were instances I thought that game was going pretty ragged. And gosh forbid, Gostkowski missed like four kicks, but then hit the one when he really needed to. And Vic Fangio mishandling the time left on the clock, not giving Drew Lock much of a chance when they got the ball back. I thought that was pretty egregious. So maybe from the mental standpoint with the coaches, you know, they still think it's preseason. So we'll see how it goes. But again, I'm encouraged from what I saw by week one.
Oh, me too. Absolutely. And by the way, I turned as soon as the Vegas-Dallas hockey game was over, I flipped over to Monday Night Football, and it was 7-7 in the third quarter. And I'm like, I'm not watching this. I'm going to bed. I was already in a bad mood anyways because of the Golden Knights ending. And I don't think I missed too much. By the way, John Ohm is watching in Winnipeg. He says, I like the Cowboys when the man with the hat coached them. That was Coach Landry. And there's no reason not to enjoy them now. Jacques in Ottawa is watching Zig. He says, Dallas is not Canada's team. Of course not, Jacques. That's the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly. I thought you did you lose that Rider shirt that I gave you, Zig? Did you lose it?
No, I still have it. Next time, okay. I'll wear it next time. How about that?
Okay, perfect. Darren Bradley is watching Caesar. He said, is that a Super Bowl poster on the wall or a Stanley Cup behind you? What do you got?
Oh, that's Stanley Cup. My better half put that up there to give ambiance to our living room here. So
I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. Zig, okay. Yes, could you spend so many years in Vegas? Your thoughts on the Golden Knights losing out? I don't know how much you're following that, but the fact that the Raiders are opening a new season, their first season in Vegas, and not being allowed to have anybody in Allegiant Stadium. Man, does that suck.
It does. And, you know, I know my brother still lives out there, and I know they were planning on, I think the Bills are out there, so they were planning on going to that game. Unfortunately, it's not going to work out, but, you know, it's amazing. I mean, I lived out there from 1985 to 2001, and at that time, Rod, it was just essentially UNLV basketball. I mean, Tark the Shark and going to Final Fours, winning the national championship, and that was really about it. And you could bet on pro games and everything like that. So funny, I remember Oscar Goodman, who was like a three-time mayor and, you know, former prominent attorney, went to Gary Bettman and said, you know what? Maybe hockey can work here in Vegas, because it was always a good hockey town. When I was there, the Thunder were there. Clint Malarchuk was involved in that organization. Alexei Yashin, Patrice Lefebvre. So there was always, you know, a hardcore, maybe 5,000-6,000 a game at the Thomas and Mack Court. And then ultimately, you know, 20 years later, or so they got the Golden Knights. But to that point, to that game, Rod, I thought when Vegas had the lead in the third, they got a little complacent. I thought Dallas was definitely the aggressive team for about the last 6 or 7 minutes. And then when you saw them get that first goal, I'm thinking, you know what? They're going to wind up coming back, tying this game, and then ultimately winning it. Dallas seems to have kind of that mental resolve that maybe Vegas doesn't. Maybe Hudobin got into the Golden Knights' head. You know, Hudobin looked an awful lot like Tim Thomas the year the Bruins went to the Stanley Cup in 2011. And Tyler Seguin even pointed that out last night after the game. So, you know, with Vegas, again, the Golden Knights, I think maybe they need a little tweak here and there. The Raiders, Rod, looked very good offensively against Carolina, but that defense, like the old Archie Bell and the Terrell's tune, they need to tighten it up quite a bit. But good start for the Raiders, a bad play for the Golden Knights.
Oh, absolutely, no doubt. Hey, they're calling Hudobin Houdini. The Golden Knights players are. And I'll tell you what, as far as goalies go, I don't envy the Vegas Golden Knights with what the decision they're going to make with Robin Leonard and Marc-Andre Fleury. I really don't. And I'll end this on this, Zig. A few. Robert Kazikov, one of our viewers, says, Brent Ashton played there too. Must be talking about the Las Vegas Thunder. What a small world. Ooh, Clint Blarchuk, okay. Very close friend of mine, by the way. The Cowboy goalie. As you know, and Clint told me a story recently, he was playing with the Vegas Thunder. He had a chance to sign with the Bruins and said, no, I'm going to stay in Vegas. I'm having too much fun. And the money wasn't up. Well, and that was a bit of a problem, as we know. But speaking of the Bruins, I had Don Cherry on. We had Don Cherry on last week. And honestly, man, I can die happy.
Yeah.
There's not much left on the bucket list for interviews for me. Who was that guy for you?
In terms of what?
The biggest interview. Yeah.
Oh, geez. I've not to brag, but I mean, I've been in this business since Marconi invented it. not quite that long. Well, Don Cherry once said, my main job was to hold the practice door open for Bobby Orr. And several years ago, when I was working in Vegas, we had a show that I was able to co-host a couple of times with some guy named Phil Esposito. So that was a blast. And one time we had Bobby Orr on, and I'm trying not to hyperventilate on the air because I'm talking to, I think, the greatest player of all time. So I've interviewed Bobby Orr, Wayne Gretzky, Jim Brown, Larry Bird, quite a few. One guy I would like to chat with would be Bill Russell, pick his brain not only on how great the Celtics were through all those years, but also the social activism and civil rights and everything that seems so prevalent nowadays. Would love to chat with him for an hour or two, but probably Bobby Orr, maybe Gretzky, Jim Brown, guys like that were my biggest interviews.
Well, that's a pretty good one. That's a good answer. Maybe one day, next time, we'll bring you back and talk about the Vegas years in Zig Fricasse's book. What that's forthcoming, because I can't imagine the people you ran into, the stories. And I guess I should have asked a better and said, who's the one guy you haven't interviewed that you would, that you'd like to? Because for me, it was Don Cherry. I've been waiting 30 years for that interview, and now I don't really have. Like, Gretzky is left, and I don't know if that's ever going to happen. But Zig, we'll let you go. As always, I love when we get together. Thanks for the time, man. We're listening. Appreciate it so much.
Rod, anytime, my friend. Keep on doing the outstanding work.
Awesome. Thanks, Zig. Stay safe.
All right, buddy.
Zig Fricasse from SiriusXM, NFL Radio, Channel 88. It's so good what they got going on over there. You know when you turn on the radio or turn on a show and it just makes you feel good?
Yeah.
For me, it's that channel.
Yeah.
Or pretty much any of my satellite channels.
Oh, I know.
To be honest. And I hope for people this show does it for them.
Oh, yeah. Well, that interview, right? That does it for me.
Oh, good.
Right? Just listening. And, you know, when you talk about skill, that matters. And I know I'm on this soapbox a little bit today, but when talent matters, like as you listen to that, and I sit back and listen as a guy who just, you know, loves the business, right? And loves that side of it. Every word, right? It's every word just feels thought out. You know, it's with a purpose. It's not just talking to talk and fill time, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that it's talent. It's talent.
I appreciate Caesar writes it. He says, for me, it's this show, RP. Good. I hope that it's distracting people from the crap that's out there for a few hours. And, of course, it's the interactive nature.
Yeah.
Jeff, the Stamps fan, says, oh, come on, Rod. You live for the day a certain CFL quarterback will grace your airwaves. You're right. I can't wait for Zach Caleros to come on the show. We haven't had that yet, but... By the way, I know we got a break and we got a sports update coming up. I was telling the boys in our pre-show meeting here that I started watching Cobra Kai last night with my beautiful wife at the urging of one of our viewers yesterday, but also Joey, the lot manager at Capital. So you got to watch Cobra Kai. So I started watching it. I'm 30 seconds into it. And I said, Joey didn't tell me this is starring Bo Levi Mitchell. The guy's the clone,
really,
of Bo Levi. And it's all the same people from Karate Kid. I'm telling you, all the same people. Ralph Macchio, whoever the guy is that looks like Bo Levi Mitchell. I laughed so hard. Like, it's real. It's drama.
So what's the premise?
It's catching up 34 years after the Karate Kid. All the same people.
Okay.
And what their lives are now.
Yep.
And they still hate each other. Wow. Like from the movie 34 years ago.
Yeah.
And the guy that looks like Bo Levi Mitchell is stuck in the 80s. He drives like an 88 Camaro with a T-roof, and he blasts Poison all the time in his stereo. And I love it. I'm here for it. Talk about Netflix shows, The Social Dilemma, Sports Update, all that coming up, okay?
All right.
It's the RP Show. We'll be right back. Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait. Do it right now.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating. Proudly serving Regina and area since 1978. Updating and improving your air conditioning system does not need to be difficult. You can breathe easy with our 100% satisfaction guarantee, flexible financing options, and maintenance programs. We will be with you throughout the process from start to finish. Contact us today so we can help you breathe a little easier. 306-781-2090.
IKS Live. IKS Live. Western Canada's premier production services company. LED sign rentals. Video production. Event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website, IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
Download the app today.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the RP Show, everybody. Hey, Donald Mitchell, our friend, the Navy guy, is watching in the Middle East, and he says, I knew you'd love it, Rod. It was Don who said Cobra Kai to watch.
And
he goes, as soon as I saw Johnny passed out on the floor 34 years after getting kicked in the face, I was fully in. Cannot wait for season 3. I'm like, ha, ha! I'm rolling laughing so hard at this show.
Yeah.
Like, he's saying, Don, what could you compare it to? I'm like, I don't know, a 30-minute sitcom. Different strokes? I don't know.
Yeah. I just didn't know if it was like, you know, they're all back together. So is it going to be like the last episode of Tiger King that I never watched? Is it going to be like,
you didn't miss anything,
reality TV? Is it? But it's a scripted show. Dustin Nielsen's been big on this too in Edmonton.
Cobra Kai?
Yeah.
So good.
The other thing I got to know is, do I need to go back and rewatch the Karate Kid? Because it's been
years. No.
I watched them as a kid. I don't remember the
nuances. There's enough highlights in Cobra Kai.
Oh,
all you need to know. All you need to know.
All right.
Jeff the Stamps fan says, I'm surprised you haven't had Fajardo on your show already. What do we had him? 3 times? Clark's not here. He's on vacation. Or he'd know. We'd have it right now.
Oh, yeah. We've had.
I think at least 3 times we've had Cody Fajardo. Hey, CFL Sim this week, week 15. The Calgary Wampeders are coming to town. Looks like we're broadcasting that on Facebook Live. Paul Shank says, are we busting Bovine's balls again, RP? That a boy, Rod. Do what you do best. You boys rock. Bring him out. Bring him out. Thursday or Friday night, we're broadcasting Calgary, Saskatchewan. And I'm kind of okay with where our lives are going. I was saying to Darren in the break that I feel like we're living in a movie every day. Because it is so much fun. It is a thrill a minute every day. You folks have no idea. You see what's going on in terms of signing the national TV deal. Got the apparel thing happening. We have a mascot. You don't know what's coming. It's so much fun. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to patch the bridge with Calgary. They don't want it, really. I don't want it. And I'm getting along with Winnipeg. Like, our show is so popular in Winnipeg. And I'm not joking. You know you can trust me on this. Our numbers are very high in Winnipeg. We've knocked over that wall of the Manitoba-Saskatchewan border. And I'm DMing with Bomber fans all the time. Who would have ever thought that had happened?
I know.
The Winnipeg junior hockey community, not to mention the NHL people, are writing me all the time, watching our Instagram stories if you're seeing. So I'm okay. I'm happy with Winnipeg. There's 750,000 people there. If Calgary doesn't like us, that's Calgary's problem.
Yeah.
I was invited to speak at a fundraiser last Saturday night in Winnipeg, and I did it. And they loved it, and I loved them. So Winnipeg it is. We did it.
We did it. Can you believe it?
Don't care about Calgary.
Yeah. You know, and that, hey.
This shouldn't surprise. And which, by the way, can you put sports update coming up, by the way. And if Calgary, one of the Calgary viewers says, when is the broadcast? Did you say Thursday? We haven't decided yet. We probably should have thought about that before we went to air. Oh, they're telling me it's Friday. Ryan, the technical producer, has determined Friday.
All right.
Right. Costa America's show goes Thursday. Recovery Hour goes Wednesday. So it'll be Friday. Thank you.
All right.
Not like I had anything else going on. But I don't. But I'm watching Stephen A. Smith. Just trolling the hell out of the Dallas Cowboys. For blowing the game Sunday night at the LA Rams.
Yep.
I don't have a problem with it. It's fun. And I'm a Cowboys fan. And if some dodos can't understand that that's what this is, then that's their problem. The Calgary thing, the hate, is fun. We got to have somebody. Stephen A's is Dallas. And then this morning, what? I'm watching First Take. Molly Kierum, the host, is a Giants fan. Stephen A's team is the Steelers. Well, who met last night? So when they launched on the air today, did you see Stephen A?
No.
He was just like, sipping his latte. You know what I mean? It was great. It's fun.
I laugh because all I can see in my head is Stephen A's Twitter video that he put out after the game on Sunday. Did you watch it?
No, but okay. I don't need to. I've seen enough of it.
No, I know, but it's just...
I've seen enough of Stephen A's videos trolling the Cowboys. I don't need to see another one.
It doesn't even... like it. Yeah.
Did he have a cowboy hat on?
No, no. It's just so good, and I'm just sitting there being like, yeah. I can just see you doing that.
Trolling Calgary.
To Calgary.
Howdy, Calgary.
We'll pull it up in the
Howdy.
Pull it up in the commercial break. It's that good. But yeah.
I think that's what we should do. Listen, Calgary doesn't want it. I don't want it. Why should we force be friends? It happens in life. You're not gonna get along with everybody. It's a human nature, it's a thing.
He doesn't even
troll. Why pretend?
He doesn't even troll the Cowboys. He just starts laughing. It's just a video of him laughing.
By the way, a couple things. Alan Lee, the Asian sensation, our intern, says, hey, guys, this is an awesome show, as always, in a break now from school. Alan, we need you. Where are you? It's Tuesday. I was looking forward to seeing him. You said he was in on Tuesdays and Thursdays, or is he done?
I did not say that.
Alan, I miss you.
We just want you here all the time.
We want you here, Alan. We miss you. Robin, viewer, says, did you see that Winnipeg has a new Junior A team? The owners of the WHL's Ice own the Junior A Blues and now the Junior A Freeze. Yes, the MJHL in this time of the pandemic is growing a 12th team. And Josh Green's the coach, former Medicine Hat Tiger, 384 games in the NHL. Did I see it? I'm all over it.
Just make Arnold Schwarzenegger the spokesman, right? Mr. Freeze from Batman and Robin.
I think it's all good.
It's cool.
Everything's coming up Millstone in Winnipeg with hockey. Look, overtime's coming up next. I never did get to this sports update. We've got sports on tap, so hang on. The thrilling finale, the overtime segment's coming up next. You're watching on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand-dry and inspect every vehicle for a top-quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. the addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Okay, welcome back. Lots to get to and a short time to get there. So what day is it today, Darren?
Tuesday.
Dark Horse is Woodbine's new easy-to-use betting app that brings the excitement of live stream horse races right to you. Its AI-powered insights and strategies help you make smarter bets. Straight out of the gate, get $30 to start betting when you sign up today using promo code DHROD. Download the app for free at playdarkhorse.com, available for Android and Apple devices. Oh, it works great, except for when you're in a dead spot on Highway 11 with no cell service and you're trying to put your bet in 10 minutes before the Queens play. It's 2020. How do we have areas of Saskatchewan that don't have cell service?
I know. That drives me nuts.
It's insane. Like, and by the way, it's not just us. Clark said he was 3 hours without cell service driving in the mountains, which I get in BC, but just wasn't good timing.
I know.
Trying to place my bet. Sports update, Nikita Kucherov and the Tampa Bay Lightning have three chances to reach the Stanley Cup final beginning tonight. Tampa only needs one more victory as it faces the New York Islanders in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Final with a 3-1 series lead. Kucherov has a series-best 9 points. Last night, the Dallas Stars booked their trip to the Cup Final with a 3-2 overtime win against the Vegas Golden Knights. Canadian Jamal Murray and his Denver Nuggets look to make NBA history when they tip off against Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers for Game 7 of their Western Conference semifinal tonight. Denver is 5-0 in elimination games so far this season. The winner gets LeBron and the Fakers in the West Final. Less than one quarter of the shortened baseball season remains, and the Blue Jays are just ahead of New York in the AL East standings, making their upcoming three-game series at Yankee Stadium all the more important. Toronto's a season-high 6 games over .500, entering tonight's season opener. This sports update is for the Tap Brewhouse and Drive-Thru Liquor Store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, the best you'll ever have, 7 amazing flavors. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RPSHOW. Order yours at g2gbars.ca. Going to be a lot of people watching for Jordan Eberle tonight, a lot of Eberle fans in this town. I just can't wait to get to Cobra Kai. And our guy Caesar edited a photo. I should send this to, maybe we'll do it tomorrow. Or maybe I could send it to Ryan real fast.
Do it tomorrow, because then I can watch the first couple episodes of Cobra Kai.
Okay, the main star of it, I don't even catch his name. Jimmy Lawrence, I think, in the show, I think, is a clone of Bo Levi Mitchell. And Caesar just put the two of them together and sent it to me. So I'll probably put it up on my Instagram. But I'll be watching Cobra Kai tonight. And my wife, she didn't seem that down with it. She was like, "Yeah, I think she thinks it's silly."
Yeah,
which is right down my alley. But we did watch one half of the social experiment last night, and in the 2.5 minutes we have left, I'm not sure that we could cover it all. They interviewed all the top dogs from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, all your favorite social media platforms, and explained how it's ruining society. and we need a longer segment than we have right now, that social media is ruining society. And I couldn't have disagreed more. And that was our argument this morning with Paul, you, technical producer Ryan, and Jordan. I don't know what he was doing, getting ready for the show, I guess. The only guy actually working, Director Jordan. I couldn't disagree more. I use social media, I compare it to a comparison that Brian Sutter gave when we were at a dinner together, and he was on the stage saying this, fire. You can use it to heat your food, heat your home, all the good things, if you know how to use it. If you don't, it can kill you. It can burn your house down. It's that dangerous, but you need to know how to use it. Social media is exactly the same. It's incredibly positive for me. And if kids, we should save this for the recovery hour, but if suicide rates are skyrocketing with teens and preteens, you think it might coincide with the breakdown in the family unit? Do you think, because everybody wants to link it to social media and depression that sets in with social media. There's a lot of things at play here. Don't let your kid have a social media account and they need to up their age from 13. But it's like handing a gun to a 10-year-old. It's dangerous, right? If you don't know how to use it. And that, so I think it's a major, major, major over-dramatization of what's wrong with social media. And as I told you guys in the meeting, to talk about social media and mental health is right in my strike zone. That is coming right down the pipe for me. You know what I mean?
Oh, I completely
know. So that's my take on the social dilemma.
I completely know what you mean. And it's like, you know, rural Saskatchewan. So, you know, we've both grown up in small towns, farming communities, and it's much the same, where in sequence number one, out on the farm, you got a 6-year-old, 7-year-old that's learning to drive the grain truck.
Yeah.
And in town, the 16-year-old is hitting parked cars trying to parallel park, right? Some people should get the keys, some people shouldn't. And it all is different ages depending on responsibility and depending on maturity. And we all mature at different ages and can handle these things differently. Some people should never handle a gun. Other people can be trained and can do it properly and can hunt and can do things like that. So there has to be more controls than, now that you're 13 years old, here's the keys to social media accounts, right? We have to have some sort of, you know, controls over that. But yeah, don't be mistaken. We are living through the greatest era ever, and we have the most tools at our disposal to have more success now than we've ever been able to have. And we're in more control of our destiny than we've ever been before. But on the flip side, it's awful dangerous to have that much power and control right at your fingertips.
Yeah. Social media is like guns, drugs, video games, gambling. Some people can't handle it. Most can. That's all. And I can tell you what, Joe Exotic is going to go down in history as a visionary from Tiger King. Remember when he had a six-shooter strapped to his hip? And they interviewed him and they said, oh, if these tigers aren't in trouble, what do you have a six-shooter on your hip for? He goes, people. People are the problem. We're done.
Okay. That's a good way to end it.
Yeah. See you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Mountain, here on Facebook Live and on Game Plus TV.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.